welcome to Good Evening, the Alfred Hitchcock Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Shea Mutella, and joining me, as always, is my ever-constant co-host, Chris Haig. Chris, how are you doing today?
I am very good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Excited to discuss today's episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Unfortunately, Tom's not here today. You know, he sent me a note. He sent me a private message there. He said he can't discuss this episode because he is opposed to fur coats. He's, you know, this cruelty against animals things. He just says he can't participate in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, is that... Oh, he messaged me saying he was going to be stuck at the dentist all day.
Oh. We're going to have to confront him together and figure out what's really going on here. Anyways, we are rapidly approaching the end of our discussions on the Alfred Hitchcock Presents episodes. But today we have one called Mrs. Bixby and the Colonel's Coat, which was originally broadcast on September 27th, 1960, as a part of the sixth season of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. And I think this was actually the season premiere. I think he even mentions that in the intro, that this was the season premiere. So, quick synopsis of the episode is Mrs. Bixby is having an affair with the Colonel. When he decides to stop seeing her, he gives her a gift, an expensive mink coat. Mrs. Bixby, however, does not want her husband to know where she got the coat. She pawns it and tells the pawnbroker not to write a description of the item on the pawn ticket. She then tells her husband that she found the ticket. She tells him to turn it in and see what it is. She stops by her husband's office expecting him to give her back the mink coat. Instead, he gives her a cheap mink neck piece. As she leaves, she sees the husband's secretary dressed in the colonel's mink coat. Oh boy, what an interesting episode this was. Chris, what were your initial thoughts on Mrs. Bixby and the colonel's coat?
Yeah, when I started watching it, it was about 5-10 minutes in, and I just went, oh, I've seen this before. But not in this version. So Mrs. Bixby is a short story by Roald Dahl, who people know as, you know, people know him most for his children's stuff like James the Giant Peach, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The Witches, all that kind of stuff. But he also wrote adult fiction as well. So, like, he wrote the screenplay for You Only Live Twice, and he was sort of prolific in doing odd bit pieces, and he also did a load of short stories. And this was a short story that was later readapted for... Tales of the Unexpected in the UK. So I've seen this before, but different actors and, you know, it was in colour and all that sort of thing. And the Roald Dahl version is, or Tales of the Unexpected version is available on YouTube for anyone who wants to check that version out and see how it measures up. So I've seen the story before. I enjoyed it. It's, I mean, I always prefer stuff that's a little bit happier, or that has a bit of a happier ending. So that didn't work for me, but I was like, oh, okay, is there going to be an, oh, no, this is just, like, darkly comic. this is not a bitter, but it's just, it's a bit like, and, like, the last little sort of punchline, really, sort of really sets it home. But I think it is a classic setup for a Hitchcock episode in a lot of ways. I mean, it's great in that no one dies, as often happens in one of these episodes, but it is about kind of, it's quite ironic, and it's about someone who sort of gets hoisted by their own petard by the end of the episode. But no, I think it was great. I really enjoyed the acting. I think the way it was shot, so, you know, one of the opening sequences is at the dentist's office, and there's just this really, it's a really intense shot of when Mr. Bixby is having a teeth done, and you're just like, oh, like, I don't mind the dentist, but I don't particularly want just uncomfortable silence and watching someone else's teeth being done, because I'm like, what's going to happen? But yeah, I think it's just, it's well shot, and it's like I said, it's a very darkly comic story, which I enjoyed.
I was trying to figure out exactly what was going on with this woman, because the impression that I got, now tell me if I'm wrong here, because I probably am, the impression that I got from the episode was that she's under the impression that neither man knows about the other man, right? Obviously, they neither of them know about it. But my impression was that she was married to both of them. And, like, she went to visit this guy, because she went with consistency, like, twice a month, or once a month for 2 days, like, all the time. She went to him and whatnot. And I'm like, so is she married to this guy, but I guess not, because in the end he's just like, I just don't want to see you anymore. And so, like, I guess my original interpretation was that he found out about the other guy, right, and then decided to break it off with her because he didn't want to be with her anymore if she was having an affair on him, you know. So I don't know, like, I wasn't sure about that. So what do you think? Do you think it was, she was just, they both knew, the colonel and her knew, or what do you think?
I mean I read it as Miss Bixby, or Mrs. Bixby, is, you know, she's having an affair with the colonel, and that's its own separate thing. She and the husband, in the very, you know, sort of British way of doing things, they don't talk about anything. Mm-hmm. The emotions are very kind of kept close to the chest and all that sort of thing. But I think, yeah, I think it is one of those situations where Miss Bixby is, she's married to the husband, doesn't want to divorce him, but she is seeing a man on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine in itself. I don't really know why the colonel, unless the colonel just either got bored or he's found someone else. Which, there was part of me expecting the colonel to be married to the secretary at the end. So it's like a real sort of love square you know, really complicated thing. That doesn't happen. But I saw it as a case of, oh, well, this woman, she's conducting, she wants to have her cake and eat it. She wants to be able to have the stable home life, but also engage in extramarital affairs. And then when she discovers her husband is doing the same thing, she can't say anything because the way she found out is by the product of her own extramarital affairs. So, yeah, I don't think she's married to the colonel, because, like you said, he just sort of says, oh, I can't do this anymore, I don't want to do this anymore, and gives her the gift of the coat as sort of like a like a parting present, as it were. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that it's this sort of very sort of dark irony that the thing that she's unable at the end to, because I don't think you actually see or are told if he is aware of her affair, and therefore that's the thing that's maybe started him with his secretary.
With his own affair.
Yeah, exactly. Because he never has any comment about it, and you never see the aftermath if she ever says anything or it ever comes out, because it's only a 20-25 minute episode. But I would be intrigued if it's literally the shoe is on the other foot now, and it's, you know, well, I knew you were having an affair with the colonel, so I thought, well, why do I, you know, the secretary who seems to like me and all that sort of thing, why do I do what you've been doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all's fair in love and war sort of thing. But mm-hmm. I don't know. And I don't know if it's just that sort of thing where at the heart of it, it's, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Bixby, they're not talking to each other. They both enjoy being in a marriage, but they don't really want to communicate and be honest and say, look, I'm not happy, you're not happy, can we work on this, or should we divorce, or whatever the situation is going to be. But I think it's just, it is one of those things where the ending is so neat, and the ending really works for me, even as, mm-hmm. you know, as a bittersweet and sad in a way it is, because I wish I could collect my thoughts a bit better, but I don't think you're supposed to feel sympathy for Mrs. Bixby, because, you know, no, but it's sort of you do and you don't, because you're like, oh, you are literally having an affair, and, you know, you are, you know, it's not just, oh, it happened once, it's a one night stand. No, you are going, like, you know, once a month, or, you know, twice a month to go have this affair, which is, okay, fine, do what you want, but I'm not going to feel real sympathy for you. I'm not going to say, oh, well, when the ending comes about, oh, aren't you hard done by? Aren't you? Mm-hmm. Haven't you had this horrible thing happen to you? Because it's like, well, no, you are getting a taste of your own, of your just desserts, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the reason, I guess, to clarify and point why I thought she was married to both of them is because the servants of the colonel call her Mrs. Bixby.
Yeah.
And I guess tonally, it feels weird. Mrs. indicates marriage.
Yeah.
And it just tonally feels weird that these servants would be recognizing her being married to somebody else while she's there, and giving her that respect of saying Mrs. Bixby. So I guess I just assumed that Mrs. Bixby was her name when she was there with the colonel. And so the colonel's last name was Bixby. Now, I looked it up, and the husband the dentist is credited as John, as Fred Bixby.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm wrong on that. But anyways, it just felt tonally weird that they would be like Mrs. Bixby when yeah. she's having an affair with this guy.
No, no, and I don't disagree with you. I think for me, it sort of boiled, it, you know, I get it because it's a bit weird and you think it'd be, there'd be more secretive. You think there'd be more, mm-hmm. oh, well, don't. You know, you haven't seen anything. This is just a random person. That sort of thing. They're being quite open about it. I don't know. It's a weird sticking point when you think about it because it's like, well, how is this like an open secret thing? Is this a secret only to the husband, or mm-hmm. is secretly the husband, has he already been aware of this, and that's what's made him go, well, I'm just going to keep on carrying out this. Mm-hmm. affair because yep. my wife and her lover are being so blatant about it. Why not? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, if you had more time, or sort of see what happens in the 10 minutes after when mm-hmm. she's seen the mink coat on the secretary, what happens after that? I'd be intrigued. But as this sort of, no, it's not.
They're
even
divorced
like a
now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They are divorced, or they're dead, or you know, because this could be the first third of a Hitchcock. Where someone ends up dead, any of yep. them ends up dead, and you're like, okay, but who actually did this? And it becomes like a sort of a more of a Brian De Palma sort of psychological thriller, which again would happily pay to see. But I think, yeah, I know. I enjoyed it for what it was. I think in the sense of like, oh, I would quite like to see what happens with these other people. Sure, that'd be great. But as a standalone story. That is about sort of irony and sort of almost karma really coming back to bite you and you reap what you sow and that sort of thing. I think it works quite well. I don't know if you'd really call it a cautionary tale unless it's just, hey, don't have affairs and also don't just keep the fur coat. Say it was a gift from a friend or something.
It's a gift.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm speaking from a place as a currently single person. Who, if I was having an affair, which, you know, wouldn't happen, but I would keep the gift and just come up with something close to the truth and say, oh, it was a gift, or I got it on sale, or something like that, rather than this whole weird rigmarole.
They said $5,000, right? And, like, I don't know, like, I'll do, like, that's how much that jacket was worth back then, right?
Oh, like, would I sell it? Oh, potentially.
So, you know what, while we're talking here, I'm going to do a quick thing, so... What was this? 19? What did we just say this was?
1960.
Sure, 1960 worth today. So quick, $5,000 worth today is $46,000, right?
Bloody
so like, if this coat
hell.
Was, you know, like in this day and age, $46,000. Like you can't just say this is a gift from somebody, right? Like $46,000.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
So, now, like, she said, they could have said it was for the aunt, but she's also never going back to this guy. Like, he doesn't want to see her anymore. So, like, what is she going to say? My aunt died? Well, then are we
and
going then to
left
the
it in the will. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he'll be saying, are we going to the funeral? You know, like, going back before we get there, like, I didn't understand where the twist was going. And so when he pulled out this smaller mink, I'm like, oh, the pawnbroker screwed her over.
Yeah.
Like, that was my first thought, was that the pawnbroker screwed her over. And so I didn't see the twist with the secretary coming.
Yeah.
Right? So I thought that was a very good twist. But then I'm thinking, and then I sit back and I think, well, why the hell did he buy her a fake, like, a mink neck scarf anyways? It could have been anything. Like, because in theory, she didn't know what it was. Like,
yeah.
You know, but I guess it's so you could keep the audience distracted is why he ended up buying her something anyways.
Do you know what I honestly thought it was? I may or may not be wrong. I literally thought it was the belt off the coat.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's quite a thin, and I thought, oh, is he just literally, he's got the coat. And he thought, I'll give the actual coat to the secretary and I'll just give her
the belt
or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like a stole or something that might have come with the coat, but mm-hmm. who knows. I think it's the visuals of it that I think work. And again, I really enjoy this way how it was shot. I think because I believe it's Audrey Meadows who is the lead actress in this, who plays Mrs. Bixby, and I really enjoyed her performance in this.
Yeah, I thought this was a good one, so I'd give this a 4 out of 5. I enjoyed this one quite a bit.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 you know, Mink Stoles, which you weren't expecting. Oh, that was it. That's what I was going to say. In terms of my habit of like, oh, this reminds me of this. This reminds me of Love Actually. Have you seen Love Actually?
I haven't seen Negative.
Okay, right. The people out there who have seen it, it is the Emma Thompson, Joni Mitchell scene that everyone will understand what I mean. It's like that, except it's a bit twisted. Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. I know. If someone wants to message me after this and be like, oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, or what the hell are you talking about, please do. Because I watched this and I was like, oh, my God, it's like what Alan Rickman does to Emma Thompson in Love Actually. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's all we got for you this time. We will be back next week with the Horse Player. And you know what? You know what, Chris?
Well,
there's only three more episodes left. We got two episodes of Hitchcock Presents and one of the Alfred Hitchcock Hour. So we got the Horse Player, Bang You're Dead, and I Saw the Whole Thing.
Wow.
And then we'll be done. And then it's on to the birds.
It's on to the birds.
Yeah. But that's all we got for you this week. So until next time, when we cover the Horse Player, good evening.
Good evening.